You did this year, did you, Eddie? It never gets old. It never gets old, Eddie. Never gets old. But today is Super Bowl Sunday. There will be approximately 13,000 tons of chips eaten today. What's the most popular Super Bowl food? What? Chicken wings. The Poultry Association estimates that between 1.25 and 1.3 billion, with a B, chicken wings will be consumed today. That's a lot of chicken. And those chickens thought us church folks were hard on them. So I bet we're going to have some fried chicken across the way. I bet there'll be no wings in it. What do you bet? We'll probably have plenty of legs, no wings. 3,600 tons, 3,600 tons of guacamole. Yeah, me too, Eddie. It ain't my thing. 12.5 million pizzas. With the average price of $26.45. Those are pretty good pizzas, aren't they? I'm into Little Caesars. $5. I just thought I'd share that because there's going to be a lot of fellowshipping today. Now, I will talk about that because I'm going to be honest with you. There's going to be a whole lot more folks at Super Bowl parties today than care anything about football. There are going to be folks at Super Bowl parties today enjoying themselves that have not watched a single football game all season. Not one. I'm going to tell you, they can't even tell you who's playing today. And to be honest with you, for $1 million, I don't think I could tell you either. The Chiefs in San Francisco? Boom. But you can tell I'm not into that much. But most people don't care. In fact, on the radio, I heard them talking about that you need a buzzer. So for the folks who are not watching the football game, you can buzz them and tell them when the commercials are coming on so they can run in there and watch the commercials. Was it $5.3 million to run a commercial on the Super Bowl? I believe Michael Bloomberg's going to have one on, and it's $5.3 million. I saw that somewhere. I'm sharing all this with you because, for the most part, it is February. It's beautiful today. But in February, we're a month past the holidays, right? It's winter when you don't get out a lot, not a lot else you can do. So people, the Super Bowl is a great reason for us just to get together and eat and have a good time. Is that fair? Now, some folks are really into the football. Really into the football. Super Bowl I, I heard that. I just give you all kinds of Super Bowl facts today. Well, that's not what I came, but Super Bowl I, the most expensive ticket in $2,020, you know, adjusted for inflation, most expensive ticket to the Super Bowl, the first one, would have been $38 in today's terms. Because at that time, the two championship games, AFC and NFC championships, were the big games. For those of us who are younger, don't remember all of that. But anyway, so it's a big deal. But for most of us, it's more about the fellowship. And I want to talk about that because there's something in us, the way God made us, that most of us, and probably all of us, need fellowship. We need it. It's a desire that we have to be with others. Now, some of us like to be with lots of others. Some of us like to be with a few others. But we have the need to be with people, to share life, to share experiences. Because when something happens to you, good or bad, what's the first tendency most of us have? It used to be to go tell somebody. Then it got to be where to go call somebody. And now we text them, right? Send them a picture. right? We want to share it with somebody. You catch a big fish, you take a picture, which makes lying harder than it used to be. You shoot a deer, what do? Something happens well at work, in your family. We get on the internet or we text and we let people know because we want to share those things. In the creation, God makes Adam and he says what? It's not good for him to be alone. He needs someone else to be there with him. And so we have woman created and we have this institution, for lack of a better term, of marriage. Because we need someone to help strengthen us and to provide for our weaknesses and that we can share life with and do things together. But most of us need relationships beyond that. Some of us just need one other couple. Some of us need a large pool of friends. But we all need somebody. We all need somebody. In Acts chapter 2, yes, you need somebody. In Acts 2, what does Luke record for us? It's what Houston read for us. That those who were being saved, man, they are happy. They are happy because Peter brings them good news. And we talked about that. They are ecstatic as a group. I mean, to the point they just want to be together. They're selling their stuff because they're all about salvation and being people of God. And it says, every day, what did they do? They worshiped in the synagogues, but they gathered in each other's homes and ate together. They were just together. They wanted to be together, and they needed to be together. There was a need for them. And food, for most of us, I think it's worldwide and throughout the centuries, but especially those of us in the South. Eating is as much a social event as it is nourishment. I just don't hardly ever eat by myself. I'm going to find somebody to eat with. I just don't like to sit down and eat. And if I eat by myself, I'm going to eat on my desk and I'm going to do it in a hurry and I'm just getting it over with. But eating is a social event where we talk, where we share. You invite folks over for dinner. You go to lunch. It's almost an experience, isn't it? It is. That being, and so they did that in the first century because they needed to be together. It wasn't just because they needed the food. I knew one guy, super guy, that would come to fellowship meals we'd have at different organizations he and I were a part of, and he would never eat. He would eat before he came. He says, I eat to live. I don't live to eat. I said, you're a great guy, but you're a sick human being. But I mean, he had no weight problem. I mean, that was his. But most of us, we might not live to eat, but we enjoy it, right? And you understand a little bit why in Exodus that the Israelites, even though God was providing it for them, that quail every afternoon and manna every morning, most of us like some variety, right? I love beans and taters. And I could do that on a pretty regular basis. But every now and then, you got to throw a steak in or something for me to really enjoy that. The need to eat and the need to fellowship. The need to be together. As God's people, we need to be about fellowshipping and being together. It is one of the requirements, and I share this with you because this one stands out to me. For those who are going to lead the church, for those who are going to be elders or shepherds in the church, one of the requirements that Paul gives to Timothy and Titus is that they should be people of hospitality. Now, we don't really think of that being a spiritual gift, but he said those that you're going to appoint to do this need to be hospitable. They need to be folks who interact with others and bring others in and feed them and house them. Because, again, this was before they kept the lights out on for you at Motel 6, right? So when you were traveling, you had to go stay somewhere. And that leaders in the church need to be people that help provide for that. The need for hospitality. And so these assemblies are about teaching and they're about worship. But hopefully before and after, you have time to visit with each other. And our Wednesday nights, we eat together around 6. We have a great group who comes together, and we eat. And it is a great time of fellowship, of laughing and sharing and getting to know each other. Plus, it's really nice if you have a family that you can come here and eat. You can get home and get a little homework done, or, you know, and eat. And then when you're through, you can go home and get kids in the bed or whatever, which is a wonderful thing, or get yourself. Because many of us, before we started eating together, we always ate after 8 o'clock because you just couldn't get it done before, right? So that's nice. But the fellowship's the most important part of what we do. And we're going to fellowship after church today. We're going to eat together, but hopefully it's a time where we visit with each other because we need that. And so, as we talk about that, I want us to think about when we're together, are we sharing with others? Are we opening ourselves up to share? You remember the story, the fable about the guy who comes to a new town, and he asked the man sitting at the gate of the city, he said, "What kind of people live in this city?" And the man said, "What kind of people lived in the city you came from?" And he said, "Well, they were friendly and nice and just great neighbors. I loved them." He said, "Same type of people live in this city." The guy who came, another guy came and asked, "God, what kind of people live in this city?" He said, "What kind of people lived in the city you came from?" So they were hateful, they were rude, they were cliquish. He said, "Those same people live here." A lot of that has to do with us. We have to open ourselves up. Here's what the scripture says. To have friends, one must do what? Show themselves friendly. Show themselves friendly. So we have to be willing to share, to speak. And for some of us, it just comes as natural as drinking or breathing. You know, for Josh Young, speaking to people is just as natural as getting up in the morning. More natural than that for you, ain't it, Josh? Josh is great at that. Shaking hands and hugging, making you feel welcome. It's just a part of who this man is. But for some others of us, it is much more difficult. It just doesn't come as naturally to us. We're not comfortable. But we need to make an effort to speak to other folks and to get to know them. And so each of us needs to do that as individuals, be willing to share, and we need to reach out to others. Because what can happen to us is you and I can get comfortable with our group, can't we? Now, I'm always leery of the term cliques. I'm always leery of that. People say, "Well, they're cliquish." Yeah, sometimes yes, and all of us are to some degree, and sometimes no, right? All of us get comfortable with our group. And that, I mean, and they're just people you're more comfortable with. And you know, this was a hard thing for me to understand when I was younger, that you weren't going to feel the same about everybody. Now, you can love everybody, and we all should. But there are some folks we're going to hang out with more than others just because of the things we have in common, our personalities, the things we like, right? That don't mean I don't love somebody that I don't hang out with them, because maybe they eat tofu. We're not going to lunch together. I love you. We'll grab some coffee. But we're not going to lunch together. I just throw those as examples. Maybe they like ballet. That's a wonderful thing. I don't understand it. Maybe they're big, big sports nuts. That's wonderful. I'm not. That doesn't mean we can't get along, but we're not going to probably, you know, I don't understand how we 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've been talking about this Super Bowl for 2 weeks. Coverage started 3 days ago. Well, the stadium's not full yet. That's right, the game's not for 3 more days. What I said, we have different likes, dislikes, we're in different places in our lives. That doesn't make us bad, it doesn't make us unfriendly, it makes us human. We should all love each other, but understand, we're not going to all have the same interests, same like. We're not going to all communicate the same way. And so the important thing is to find folks, to be looking for, and to be reaching out to folks that we can connect with. Because we don't want anybody to feel lonely. It's okay to be alone. Sometimes it's good to be alone, isn't it? Sometimes you just want to be alone for a few minutes. But it's never good to be lonely. It's never good to be lonely. And so it's about reaching out. The first century church, they met in each other's houses. That means the whole group didn't meet together. Because the houses weren't big enough for that. Because we're talking about thousands of people. It meant they found a group within the church that they could be a part of. So we need to be looking. If you're not a part of a group, come be a part of our group. Find some folks that you can connect with. And if you've been here a long time, be willing to expand your group. Divide your group. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? All right, I might show my ignorance, but I think I'm right. How do amoebas grow? Cell division. Am I right? They divide. Well, they reproduce. Thank you. I knew I wouldn't be right. The Lord said I need the helper, and I do. All right, that's how they reproduce. They divide. What sometimes is the hardest thing for us to do? To divide. To leave where we are comfortable. That group to where we're comfortable. And we don't always have to leave them. But you do have to be willing. As social people, and especially as God's people, be willing to divide a little bit so that we can include new folks. We need to be about that because it's important. Because worshiping the true God is absolutely necessary. Having correct doctrine that's based on the Bible is absolutely necessary for God's people. But it's also absolutely necessary that we find social connections with each other. That we be willing to divide and include others. And that we be willing to be a part of a group. And we're not going to fuss at you if you just come on Sunday morning and leave. We're not going to fuss at you. You're welcome. We want you to be a part. We're not going to look down on you, down our nose, anything. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to get the full benefit of being part of God's people, you got to get to know folks. You got to come be a part. We got to work together. We got to get to know each other. We got to laugh together. We got to cry together. We got to eat together. It's just necessary for us to get to know each other. It's just important. I got a lady that I work with. She's been a frequenter of the VFW for years and years and years. Which I always think, for those of you who are old enough to remember Alice, the TV show, remember? Florence Jean Castleberry, Flo, kiss my grits. You remember? But what was Flo going to do on Saturday night? I'm going to go jitterbugging at the VFW. And I think about that all the time. But the reason I say that is I can't tell you how many people who come in to pay their taxes want to talk to her because they're friends from the VFW. Because they spend Friday nights and Saturday nights, not all the time, but they're there listening to the bands and eating and doing what they do. But they get to know each other. And they build a bond and they want to visit. Maybe I haven't seen you in months. I've missed you. How's your family? There have been country music songs about the bars. That they're open 24 hours, you know, a place where you can go. What about Cheers? A place where everybody knows your name. It is that need to have a connection, to have a place, to be known, to have a place to go and share things. When Archie Bunker and Edith got in trouble, where did Archie go? Was it Mickey's Bar that Archie would go? A place to go where he could talk to somebody. Bartenders serve drinks, and they listen to people, what they tell me. We talk a lot about bars, but the reason I share that is because for a lot of folks, that's where they find their social contact, right? That's where they find their social contact, where they share. And if as church, we need to be the same thing. That's the way God made us. That's the way God made church, for us to share in bigger groups and in smaller groups. And so this is really a pretty simple lesson, and I'm going to be quiet. But I think it's a really important one. Not just that we want to invite you to the fellowship meal. We want you to come today. But it is Super Bowl Sunday, and there are going to be people getting together, not because of football, but because of they enjoy being together. The church, I'm not talking about the building. The church is made up of the people. Find a place. I hope Milton might be it. If it's not, it's okay. But find a place that worships God, believes the Bible is the inspired word of God and is our pattern. But find a place where you can belong, where you can work, and where you can fit in, and where you can have friends. And again, you're not going to be friends with everybody, but find folks that you can call and who miss you when you're gone, when you're not here, and that you can share the joys and the sadnesses of life, that you can fellowship with, because it's important. And I hope this is the place. And for all of us who are here and are comfortable, because for many of us, this is, I'll just be honest with you, when you come here, I feel like you come to my house. Not that this is my church, but it's just in this fellowship meal, I want you to be as comfortable, I feel as responsible for you as if you came to my house for dinner. Because this is just home for many of us. I mean, this is the center of a lot of what we do. And then the people here, I just love you just like my family. See you more, probably love you more. And, you know, I hope you get to be where it's the place like you, because it's not just the building, it's the people. Where you feel like this is home. Where you belong. That we're about serving God and we're encouraging each other. That we're sharing with each other, because we all need that. People need it. People need it. And so today we're going to have a fellowship meal. So I hope if you're visiting, you'll stay. If you can't stay, I hope you'll hang around a minute so we might get to know you better. And for those of us who are here and comfortable, some of you ladies are going to run, and y'all just need to know they're going to get over there to get food ready. That's what they do, and they need to do, and we're all thankful for that, right? But I encourage the rest of us, and for those ladies over there, if you look around and you see somebody you don't know, introduce yourself. And if it's not easy for you, do it anyway. You don't have to speak to everybody that's here, but find somebody. Don't just go to the people that you know. And we don't have any new babies here today. The reason I say that is because we got new babies coming. Got some folks who had new babies, but they're not here today because everybody's going to the new baby. So if you're a visitor and there's a new baby here, I'm sorry, we're probably not going to be that friendly today. We're all going to the new baby. But don't be new babies here. But find somebody and just speak to them. And if you're visiting, know you're welcome to stay. You're welcome to stay. We want you to stay. We want you to be a part. If you're a visitor and says, I'm passing through, I won't ever be back, you stay anyway. Because you come into our home, we want you to stay. If you're looking for a church home, you come stay and visit. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to all want to do is you're going to sit with the folks you always sit with. I can tell you on Wednesday night where everybody's going to sit. Move around a little. Find somebody that you don't know as well and sit down with them and talk to them. Hang around. If you got to run after service, that's fine. If you say, I got to eat and run, I got somewhere to be, eat. We're not going to think you're rude. There's only one person here that's going to say, you know, they were rude. They just ate and left. The rest of us aren't even going to notice. We all have busy lives. But stay and be a part. Stay and be a part, not only here, but all the time. Find a place to join. The early church did it. Paul knew it was important for God's people to be hospitable, to be open to each other. Because here's the deal. We're all struggling to be what God wants us to be. We're all here because we're sinners. That's why every one of us is here. We're here. No facades. No, you came to a place where we're all perfect and we won't try to help the imperfect. You've come where the imperfect are. We all understand that we're in need of the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. And we're striving every day to live more and more like God. To be what God wants us to be. And we encourage each other in that. And we help each other when we're struggling. And don't think that none of us here struggle. Because we all struggle. We all struggle. We struggle with faith. We struggle with addictions. We struggle in our families. We struggle with work. You name it, we struggle with it. But it's a place where we don't judge, we share. And we hold to God's truths. We hold to God's truths. But we do that in a way that says, we're not accepting in ourselves or each other, not living the way God wants us to live, but we're encouraging each other to do it, and we're praying for forgiveness. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's about us striving each day to serve God and to serve each other. Jesus died on a cross, the perfect for the imperfect, because he knew we were all sinners. I'm going to tell you why the first century church was so glad to be together. Because they had found salvation. Burdens had been lifted. The biggest struggle they ever would have, and that of death, had been overcome. And they were joyous. All of us face troubles and things that concern us. But knowing that Jesus loves us and died for us, and in Him we have salvation, should bring joy. We just want to share that. We want to share it with each other. And we want to help each other through this life. Because we're going to fellowship with God in the world to come. If you're not a Christian today, if you've never named Jesus as Lord and put Him on in baptism, and you're ready to do that, we'd encourage you to come. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of our shepherds, maybe something's on your heart, maybe sin that you're dealing with, maybe a sickness, maybe something joyous you want to share with family. Any of those needs you have, why don't you come while we stand and sing?